Riley and I served together for many, many years and have been at many, many process together. And what I always loved dearly about her was whenever we would sit in a round table, she would go, "Bob, you're the scribe. Take the notes." And darn it, I always did. So, with love and aloha, please welcome Riley, our Pacific Regional Delegate, a trustee.
I love the Pacific Regional Delegates. Okay, yesterday I forgot my name, but I'll try not to do that this time. Aloha. Welcome to PRASA. This is the most wonderful service assembly in the world. My name is Riley, and I'm an alcoholic. I am privileged to serve you as the Pacific Regional Trustee. I want to give a big thank you to Area 17 for hosting PRASA on this beautiful island. It's really been great so far. So, how many people are here at PRASA for the first time? Oh my God. Welcome. You don't know what you're doing here, and I'm so glad that you're here to learn. So welcome for you. How many people have been in general service for less than 10 years? Holy cow. I'm so glad you're here. I'm not going to say anything that will help you, I'm sure. But just listen, and it might come through in some way. I love PRASA, and I love the Pacific region. I do hope that you find some information this weekend to take back home and share with your groups. You've already gone to the different panels. You've heard a lot of presentations that are well-researched, informative, and put together by trusted servants with a lot of experience and also opinions. The Pacific Region delegates have a well-deserved reputation. Can you hear me? Okay. Am I okay? All right. If you can't hear me, then say so. The Pacific Region delegates have a well-deserved reputation of being the most informed delegates at the conference. These are your delegates who care deeply about Alcoholics Anonymous. Would you stand up, please? Our delegates, stand up. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your maintenance. I love you guys. I'm so glad that you're here representing your areas for the Pacific region. These delegates care deeply about Alcoholics Anonymous. They're willing to put their personal opinions to the side to make sure that the collective group conscience of their area is informed and well served. And I thank you for your service. So, what am I doing here? Well, as Pacific Regional Trustee, I have no position in PRASA. I serve on the General Service Board of Trustees, but it's not a representational position. I don't represent you. I don't vote for you. I just find you. I go to your areas and I talk to you and I listen to you. That's what I do. I have no committee to vote for. I have no delegation of authority. What I do to the board is I bring the flavor of my region to the board. And we, the Pacific region, is one of the most wildly inclusive regions in AA, and there is a lot of flavor to bring. And I do that to the best of my ability, to not represent you, but to present you to make sure that they know that there's a diverse area like Hawaii that's here working for, and that's who they are working for you. The different areas each have their own flavor, and I am so pleased to have been able to spend the last 4 years with each area for time to time. Now, when we come to Hawaii, we're encouraged to dress accordingly. I'm a suit and jacket type, and this is hard for me. My last and longest husband loved to wear Hawaiian shirts, and so all 8 kids wore his shirts to his memorial service. So last week when I was trying to find something, at least colorful, my daughter brought this shirt to me. And she said, "Please wear Daddy's shirt." Bob passed away many years ago with 39 years of sobriety, but he's apparently still showing up everywhere. PRASA is very special to me. I've been involved with PRASA since I was on the host committee in 1971, and I went to the Hawaii PRASA in 1978. But this is only my 29th PRASA. I can't make them all. After the General Service Conference in April, I will rotate off the General Service Board after 4 years of service to the Pacific region. It has... Wait, you may want to take that back. It's been a wild ride. Some of it has been awful. But every time I hear a story about how someone has been able to change their life and help others, I feel the joy of participating in this business of recovery. And I thank every one of you who do that. You go home and you take care of business and you take the drunks off the streets and you put them in their chairs in your groups and you make sure they stay there if you can. And I know you do that because I hear you and I listen to you. Today, I'm feeling immensely grateful to you all for trusting me to stay sane and sober long enough to be useful. I was drafted into General Service almost 60 years ago, and I've been active ever since. In this year of celebrating 60 years of sobriety, I want to thank you for all you've given to me. Now, there were a lot of surprises serving as a board trustee. I grew up in AA in Southern California, hanging out with past delegates and trustees. They talked a lot. They were a social bunch. Our homes were open to each other. Groups celebrated sobriety with food and meetings, and AA members gathered everywhere. We didn't talk on the phone because even calling across town was long distance and expensive. Some of you just can't believe that, but thank goodness for cell phones. Now we can talk to anyone, anywhere, for hours at a time. It's just lovely. So back then, nobody knew we were coming, so we just showed up at each other's house. Our doors were open. We just came in and we talked to each other. Typically, we had a car full of newcomers with us. And now I know that in those early years, trustees and delegates may have had more time to be social. They weren't constantly in virtual meetings. Even Bill communicated with us by letters, and responses took time. I was surprised to find that although trustees are social people, trustee business is not a social activity. There isn't time to get to know each other as we move from room to room on board weekends, or when we dash offline and on again to join the next meeting. I know now that I had expected a return to the old days of friendly debates and endless questions. That changed when the world shut down. I came on the General Service Board in 2022 just as we started to come back together. After 2 years of isolation, I missed social interaction so much. I wanted my new community to be my friends. I wanted to know who they are and how they think. I expected the social interaction that I'd been used to. We used to gather to talk about what's happening in AA, in just casual groups. And we talked about what we could do for service that's exciting and encouraging, and how we can grab somebody else and bring them into this exciting world of sobriety and service. The last 6 years have been the loneliest time I've ever experienced in sobriety. My solution, though, because I always have one, is to find one home group that I don't miss for any reason unless I'm traveling, even though I travel a lot. But if I'm in town, last Tuesday, I got off the plane after 15 hours of traveling and drove to my Monday night meeting. Or was it? That was Monday. I must have been on the plane then. I don't even know what month it is or day it is anymore. They all merge together. But that group is my lifeline. And when they don't expect me to be there because they know I'm traveling. But when I walk in, they all say, "Welcome back." And people have been saying to me, "Welcome back," for 60 years, and they're still doing it, because I keep coming back. Wherever I am, I try to take advantage of every opportunity to talk to someone new for a few minutes. At each meal, I try to sit with different people. So when I'm with you, when I'm sitting at your table or in your area or at a GSR or get-together, show me your puppy pictures and your cat videos. Tell me about your grandchildren. This gives me that spiritual connection that bridges the gap between what we do and who we are. I thought at first that instant electronic communication would allow us to work faster. Did you? Yeah. But instead of making a 5-minute phone call, we schedule an hour meeting. We decided not to have hallway conversations and only talk if everyone is included. So it takes a week to schedule a meeting. Virtual meeting preparation takes a lot of time. Arranging, organizing, researching, writing reports, reading reports, and getting partially dressed. Also, time zones have no respect for meal times. We all feed ourselves between or during meetings. There are 5 time zones in the Pacific region alone, so we have to make sure that the right time zone is always shown or we'll miss a meeting, which sometimes we would like to do and claim time zone deficiency, but we're getting pretty good at knowing when to show up. The group conscience of the board changes with every rotation. Committees rotate in April, staff rotates in July, delegates rotate in January. It's hard to keep up with who is your immediate group conscience. If you get upset with something, though, wait a little while and a whole new group conscience will rotate in. I travel through the Pacific region and I talk to everyone I can. I always want to know how your groups are doing, how newcomers are finding.
I'm tardy.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was in my room. It was a long walk.
I love the Pacific region. So I always want to know how your groups are doing, how newcomers are finding meetings, and how you maintain unity through changes. If your group experiences conflict, well, so does every other group, so I hear. Don't let conflict rule your life. That's important. Talk it out. Ask your elder statesman to share your experience. Ask other members for guidance. Ask at your district and area and call your delegate, who will then often call me. We all share the load, and we all have something to offer if you've got a problem. Different perspectives, and one of them will fit. Host a workshop or a sharing session. Have a special meeting. Bring food. Some groups have shifted away from being living, social, sharing organisms toward individual recovery. Groups meet in homes or online. They may study the latest popular book that it's surfaced on social media instead of the old reliable AA books. Time to remind you that every group is autonomous. But if you do use non-AA literature, just tell them that it's non-AA literature and then read it if it helps. Districts are having a hard time keeping the essential line of communication open between groups who don't see the value in community. In rural areas like mine, there's a pattern of individuals to move away from home group participation, to contribute directly to the General Service Board, and to reduce district support. If there's confusion in your area about the difference between a meeting and a group, read the pamphlet, The AA Group. Let me remind you of the third tradition. Our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. Hence, we may refuse none who wish to recover. Nor ought AA membership ever depend upon money or confirmative. Any two or three alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group they have no other affiliation. You can't start a home group. You get a chance to choose one from any group you want. You can visit all of them and decide which one fits you and join it, make that home your home group. There's an old adage that says, all you need to start a group is a coffee pot and a resentment. That's not true. No one person can start a group. You've seen them try. You have to at least have a friend with the same resentment. You have to be able to break off and go somewhere you can sit and agree with each other. But according to the third tradition, it takes two or three people to make a group. Now, if my math is correct, less than two people is only one. And that's a very unstable group conscience. There's a couple of questions that you can ask people if they're confused. One is, do you know when you're in a meeting of a home group? The second question is, do you know when you are not in an AA group meeting? Those all need answers, and we need to ask those. I haven't figured out what we can do to increase unity out of this tendency to separate. So I've just started talking a lot more about tradition one and about group conscience. For one thing, it's constantly changing as members leave or arrive. The General Service Conference becomes a new group conscience every year as delegates and trustees rotate. So there is never a conference the same as another conference. I'm constantly reminded that one person is no more important than the next. One may be louder or newer or braver, but no one has more importance. Every one of us has a concept of a power greater than ourselves. It may be just a vague idea. It may be a nothing. It may be the electricity. It may be anything. Maybe it's a firm religious belief. But whoever we are and whatever we believe in, we bring that personal contact with us into every meeting, and into the conference. We have an inclusive and robust discussion then, which you can look forward to, you first-timers. It'll be fun. And then, after, if things get a little hairy or a little long, then we start realizing that all those higher powers that we each carried in, they're talking to each other. And so I know that whatever is decided, it won't come from any one person, but from all of us together. So I believe in the conference, and I believe with every person going into the conference that they step in there with their own higher power, and that's who goes to the conference for you. Before, be sure you tell them what you think about the agenda items, and then know that the higher powers are in there duking it out with each other. The ultimate decisions of these higher powers may result in an action that will one day save lives. So just let them do it. I see the result of tradition, too, at work in board committee meetings. This is my fourth and last year as a trustee, and the workload is much lighter now than it was since I'm not a director on AAWS. I serve on committees, currently serve on nominating, conference, and finance. I chair archives, compensation, and the ad hoc on report and charter. It's a new committee. Each committee has been doing a lot of cost cutting. I have never seen so much effort in budgeting as we've done this year, just to keep up with rising costs from outside our own control. We still get comments from members who are worried about the level of the reserve fund, like, we won't send more contributions until you put back what the pandemic took out. Or, I can't make the math work on that one, sorry. I also can't work out the perspective of, we shouldn't have spent the money to move Grapevine into digital. We should have let it die. I can't. You shouldn't have taken out the money to save the Grapevine. We might need it someday. I've heard that. But we don't have any control over contributions, and the rest of the fellowship is trying to help take up the slack for those who are using their rights. I wonder though if some groups are not you know, if we've got lower contributions, we try to get some more books sold, and that's not happening either. So I wonder if some groups are waiting for a new edition of the big book. They know it's in the works. We just don't know exactly when it's happening. So maybe that's what they're waiting for. It'll be talked about in the conference. But in the meantime, we're still selling fourth editions. And we have them stocked in a warehouse. We have all our books that aren't currently going out. We put them in a warehouse, and we pay fees for that. Just so you know, you could buy up a lot of books and give them away to people who don't have any yet. Reduce inventory warehouse costs. Give away some books. Make some book sales. Win, 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 win. Well, the whole world is still building back, and our groups are finding ways to stabilize with higher costs. It isn't as easy to find places to meet as it used to be. Online groups have equipment to maintain, and they have meeting costs. Rent, coffee, equipment, insurance now, sending the GSR to area assemblies. These basics are covered by your group first. Members just trying to break even at home still put what they can in the basket and bring their own coffee to meetings. My own travel to board meetings is reimbursed with your basket dollars. I stay aware of that by packing a lunch for those 15-hour travel days, and I bring my own snacks. We all get creative when we're trying to help. I bring bagels along for breakfast. Hotels, they're cost-cutting, so they don't offer microwaves anymore. So every morning, I iron a bagel. The last 4 years have been hard. I haven't been available to those I love and want to help. I knew that going in. I traveled thousands of miles in 4 years on nearly 100 five-day weekends. I knew that going in. I've been encouraged to speak up and told to keep silent. I've faced heavy pressure from every side of many questions from people I love. I don't sleep. Several good friends have died during this term, and I couldn't go to any of their memorials. My brother died. My sister had a stroke. My cat died. And I've taken about 100 personal inventories and emerged a much better person than I was when you elected me. This isn't the talk I wanted to give. I wanted to talk about the reserve fund and how you shouldn't be worried. The reserve level will grow, and then it'll reach 12 months, and then we'll have to start spending it like crazy, and then we'll argue over what to spend it on. So that's coming later. I wanted to caution you to remember that when you ask the conference for something, that's you. You're the conference. So be prepared to offer what you're willing to ante up to provide it. I wanted to tell you about the committees I serve on and how much fun I've had forming a new ad hoc committee for report and charter. Actually get something new to do and the responsibility that I haven't had before. And it's been the most wonderful part of the last 4 years. The best part is going to your areas. I never forget that. I wanted to tell you about the fabulous new Class A trustees we're blessed with. They are wonderful. I still don't know why they're there. We go through this because it's life and death. They do it out of love for us and for the same people that we're trying to save. Both classes are there for the same reason. They just got, I don't know where they get that, but their love is immense. I wanted to ask you why you're upset about paying for an office for the people who work at GSO. There's a location plus report in the 2024 final conference report that shows much of the work that went into the search for office space. And every delegate got a copy of the detail report. So you know who to ask if you still got questions. The actual motion was to accept or not the professional's recommendation after that study was done. So how would you have voted faced with that motion? You don't know. I don't know. I know how I voted, but you don't know how you would have voted. It had all the detail behind exactly what it would cost, what the alternatives were. Would you have voted no? Let's move into the street. Let's fire everybody. You don't know. It wouldn't have happened. We would have done something. But we did what we did. Every motion is deliberated and researched, and we do our best to find answers. I also wanted to remind you that the General Service Board does not run the corporate offices. Responsibility lies with the authority of the corporations. Those group services you ask for and then you approve at the conference, your group also pays for that. Do you need more translations, pamphlets, service materials, financial reports, analytics? Well, if you ask for something new, GSO will provide it if they can. We're all on the same side. We only have one job, each one of us here, to provide enough services so your groups can keep helping drunks find sobriety. I have so much to tell you about. I'm not done yet, but I'm done for today, and now I look out at your faces as I prepare to say goodbye. I see your love. I feel your commitment. And I think of all the wonderful people I've met and talked to and wish I could remember your names. 60 years ago, I asked my sponsor, he was a man of few words, if I could ever be someone important in AA. He said, no. So I asked him what I could do for AA. He said, be there. And that's the only thing I've ever been able to do. I've been to your groups, listened to your complaints, shared my hope and experience with you. I've been there every day for the last 4 years, whether I wanted to or not. I probably have not accomplished anything significant. But I hope I've been able to share my gratitude for AA's traditions and concepts that have changed the world, and AA steps that have changed me. All I ever did was show up and share what I believe in. Thank you for my life.